In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so read them, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. A reading from Isaiah chapter 52. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is the word of the Lord. A reading from John chapter 18. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I've always taught in synagogues and in the temple where all Jews come together. I've said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard me what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me?" Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And a reading from 1 Peter chapter 2. What credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in him. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sin in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Behold the man before you,
the name of Jesus. What would you do if your Lord walked into this church this evening? I don't mean if he walked into this church in all of his glory. I mean if he walked into this church looking like he did as he walked along the dusty streets with his apostles. Would you, A, walk up to him, shake his hand, and say, "Thank you"? Would you, B, scream and run in terror? Would you, C, fall down and worship him? Would you, D, hide in embarrassment? Would you, E, slap him in the face? Because the servant of Annas, the high priest, chose E. He slapped Jesus in the face. He thought that Jesus was being a little too insolent. And so one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" God the Father has never been slapped in the face. God the Holy Spirit has never been slapped in the face. But God the Son, Jesus, he's been slapped in the face often. You see, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit do not have bodies, so they don't have faces. They can't be slapped, but Jesus does. He's a human like each one of us. Behold the man who is also God, the God who can be beaten, slapped. We're learning this Lent that Christian faith is every bit as much physical as it is spiritual. And so when our Lord Jesus came into this world, he did not simply come as a spirit being. He came with a body, a physical body, a body that had cheeks that could be slapped, a stomach that could be punched, lungs that could lose the breath when he was punched, skin that could bleed, be bruised, an ego that could be bruised, feelings that could be hurt. We Christians sometimes, I think we speak as if Jesus is a God who doesn't ever hurt. We talk about, we sing about a God who walks with me and talks with me in the garden. Not about a God who chastises me for what I have done wrong. We have poems about a God who carries us through the sand and through the hardest times of life. Instead of two footprints, us walking side by side, there is only one when he's carrying us. No mention of Jesus saying it's not worth carrying you and dropping us. No mention of butt prints in the sand. We talk about a God who is our friend in through thick and thin. Not much about our lack of befriending him. In other words, we've created a God who sentimentally meets our needs, but he never hurts. What we really need is a God who can be punched in the face. Because if we do not have a God who can take a punch, then we do not have a God who is able to forgive those who deliver the punch. And make no mistake, you and I figuratively slap our Lord every single day with our sinful behavior in ways that I suspect hurt him far deeper than what that servant of Annas did when Jesus was on trial. Ever since the fall into sin, enmity with a holy God has simply been the birthright of every single human on this earth. When our mothers gave us birth, they did not teach us to hate God. They didn't have to teach us. God is holy, we are not, and we're jealous. God is immortal, and we are not. We don't like it that way. God is in control, we are not. That offends us. And we want to be in control, and every time we try, we prove that we make pretty lousy gods. We mess up our lives. We tend to fool ourselves into believing that most of the time we can pretty much rely on ourselves. We just kind of need a boost every once in a while from Jesus. And so we treat Jesus like a good teacher who instructs us, a good therapist who counsels us, a life coach who gives great suggestions. We treat Jesus like he is a moral example who shows us how to do things that'll please God. We treat him like a superhero, especially one who will rescue us when we can't rescue ourselves. We treat him like a vending machine who will give us whatever we want if we press the right buttons. You think about this: teacher Jesus, life coach Jesus, therapist Jesus, superhero Jesus, moralist Jesus, vending machine Jesus. Not a single one of those Jesuses would have gotten slapped in the face. Not a single one of them would have gotten himself bludgeoned or ended up dead on the cross. Those Jesuses don't offend anybody. But Jesus can teach you, he can coach you, he can moralize you, he can rescue you, he can give you everything you want. And he can do all of those things without having a body. What he can't do without having a body is save you. So rejoice that Jesus has a body. Behold the man who has a face that can be slapped by the servant of Pilate, the man who has a back that can be scourged by the minions of the Romans. A body that can be stricken, smitten, and afflicted by his Father. A body that can be pierced for your transgressions and crushed for your iniquities. As Peter explained it in our third reading this evening, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. What happened to your sin? It went into his body, and he bore it on the tree. So that now you can go live however you want? No. So that you might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you've been healed. Dear Christians, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yes, our sin-skewed natures are born hating God, and there's still some leftovers of that. I have to confess, there are times when I kind of feel like slapping God because he allows people to suffer in ways that I don't think they should suffer, and I can't understand and I can't explain to people, and I like to be able to be in control and explain. My sin-skewed self wants to tell God, is this what you do with people who trust in you? But the solution to this is not for me to try to unclench my fists. It is not for you to hold your tongue so you don't say something that you will regret later. The solution is not for you or me to resist striking our Lord, because that's not going to solve the problem. It won't remove the anger that is in you or me against our God. The solution is for us to confess. Word confess means to speak in unison. We speak in unison with God's law that condemns us. We speak in unison with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We speak in unison in admitting that we have figuratively slapped our Lord by our thoughts, our words, our deeds, by the things that we have done wrong and by the things that we've failed to do right. And we hear our Lord's response. I'm kind of guessing that Annas instructed his servant to slap Jesus. Jesus does not instruct his servant to slap you even when you are insolent toward him. He does not command his servant to raise his hand and punish you for what you've done wrong. He instructs his servant to raise his hand and forgive you for what you have done wrong in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, to place his physical hands on your physical head so that there is absolutely no doubt in your mind that you have been absolved of every ounce of rebellion in your body and your soul, because it has all been absorbed into Jesus' body. Your Lord, when he was slapped on the right cheek, did not turn the left cheek as well. Instead, he offered his entire body as well to be not only crucified by the Romans, but to be consumed by the wrath of heaven that should have been directed toward you and me. And now, you and I are invited by our Lord with body and soul to experience the joy and the peace of life with him forever. All because of what Jesus has done. Behold the man whose face can be slapped. Behold the man who would rather endure shameful abuse from sinners than force you or me or any other sinner in this world to have to answer for our own rebellion on the last day. He would rather take it into himself. Behold the man, Jesus. And in doing so, behold God, the God who can be slapped for you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The Lord Almighty grant us a quiet night and peace at the last.
Amen.
It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to herald your love in the morning,
your
or you may sit. Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. Holy and gracious God, I confess that I have sinned against you this day. Some of my sin I know, the thoughts and words and deeds of which I am ashamed, but some is known only to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask forgiveness. Deliver and restore me, that I may rest in peace. By the mercy of God, we are redeemed by Jesus Christ, and in him, we are forgiven. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, rest now in his peace, and rise in the morning to serve him. Amen. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? O my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith. 1 Peter chapter 5. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 8. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew chapter 11. Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit.
Into your hands, I commend my spirit.
You have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Refuge of the weary, blessed Redeemer, awake. prayer, or you may sit.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Listen to my cry.
Keep me as the apple of your eye.
Hide me in the shadow of your wings.
In righteousness I shall see you.
On my way, your presence will give me joy.
Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we give you thanks for the day, especially for the good we were permitted to give and to receive. The day is now past, and we commit it to you. Be present and protect us through the hours of this night, so that we who are wearied by the changes and chances of life may find our rest in you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Eternal God, the hours both of day and night are yours, and to you the darkness is no threat. Be present, we pray, with those who labor in these hours of night, especially those who watch and work on behalf of others. Grant them diligence in their watching, faithfulness in their service, courage in danger, and competence in emergencies. Help them to meet the needs of others with confidence and compassion. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Lord, support us all the day long of this troubled life until the shadows lengthen and the evening comes and the busy world is hushed, the fever of life is over, and our work is done. Then, Lord, in your mercy, grant us a safe lodging and a holy rest, and peace at the last through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Guide us waking, O Lord, and guard us sleeping, that awake we may watch with Christ, and asleep we may rest in peace. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations, and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Guide us waking, O Lord, and guard us sleeping, that awake we may watch with Christ, and asleep we may rest in peace. The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and keep you.